Radio, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
Welcome to the Data Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And today we're going to be talking about Jackson Rising, the struggle for economic democracy and black self-determination in Jackson, Mississippi. And that's the title of a book. It also identifies a very important movement. We have two guests in the studio. We can be speaking to them shortly. In the second half of the show, we will be talking to Zafar Bengash about developments in Yemen, the issue between Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Iran. People will know that Zafar Bengash is one of the world's authorities on this matter, so that'll be along about 5:30. But let us get to the show. We are in the studio. We have Brandon King and Abriani. And welcome to the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Now, you were in town. You spoke last night at a different book list, 777 Bathurst, a wonderful place, institution. And so what brought you to town, or what were you talking about?
We were just talking about the co-op, the cooperative in Jackson, Mississippi. We had just left Detroit from meeting up with other organizers and other co-ops to mm-hmm. connect and figure out how we can resource and help each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gathering in Detroit was called, it was a symbiosis. Convergence, and I think it was looking at how can communities build people's assemblies and build for dual power mm-hmm. to contest the state and for people to have just more control over our lives. Yeah. And one of the people that came to that conference is based here in Toronto. Uh-huh. And since we were coming up to Detroit, they were like, well, can you just come up a little further north? Yeah, and so that's what we ended up doing.
Follow the North Star. Right? I get the impression, I wonder if you share it, that there is this is something that seems to be taking root in our culture, both Canada and the United States. Last week on our program, we had an author talking about public ownership and how all the good things that happened in railroads, mm-hmm. electrical power, and medicine came from public facilities, mm-hmm. things owned by the people.
Right.
But then it has been overridden by a cult of private ownership mm-hmm. and free range capitalists, I guess we could call them.
Yeah.
And that's led to a lot of problems, and people seem to be looking around at cooperative movements. The last big voice I heard of in the U.S. was, of course, Ralph Nader was talking about it. Mm-hmm. But it's actually starting to happen. What sort of project in Detroit, for example, did you hear about?
So we heard about the Detroit Black Food Security Network, mm-hmm. and they have a big, really awesome farm called D-Town Farms. Mm-hmm. We actually were there yesterday. They had a harvest festival where there were vendors and a bunch of youth. It was intergenerational, but people being close to food, seeing how food grows, seeing it come off the actual vine or the branch, mm-hmm. And just people being more connected to food. And they're actually in the process of forming a grocery store, a co-op grocery store. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's about like people trying to have more access to food and food security and building towards like a food sovereignty.
Yeah. And Adriana, I was listening to an interview with one of the spokespersons on this matter of what's going on in Jackson, and he posed it as a survival issue, the survival of a community, and the core of it being a matter of land. Could you want to elaborate on that? What that idea is?
I'm not sure if you're talking about land trust, but right now, as far as co-ops, we're looking into land trust. That way, the community can come together and have land that they own as a collective. Mm-hmm. And for 100 years, it won't be able to be sold. It won't be able for the government to have any hands on it. And the community is in charge of how it's ran and what can happen on those plots of land.
Yeah. On a political level, you really won a major fight when you had the first mayor Lumumba. Now you have the second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about Mississippi, and the reputation is that's a rough place to stand up for black people or to expect the law to take. There's a monster called eminent domain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If I understand it, there's a project to just decide to take people's property and what, to build a casino or something?
Yeah, there's a One Lake project where the Army Corps of Engineers basically said it's not, that we shouldn't move forward with the project because of environmental concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But because Phil Bryant, who happens to be our governor, is close friends with Donald Trump, they just kind of, forget the paperwork. We're just gonna go through with
bulldoze
it, bulldoze through it, yeah. And they want to set up casinos along the river, you know. But it can cause a lot of environmental damages.
Casino's not the happiest thought, anyhow.
Right?
By the way, aren't the churches interested in this? My memory was, particularly black churches, have been. You could say a moral force. Talk about building casinos to solve people's problems should get a rise, particularly out of Baptists, I would think.
Yeah, you would think. It's interesting. In Jackson, I feel like a lot of things are happening around people, but I don't know if people are very aware about the different plans that come. Mm-hmm. I think people find out once it's already in implementation mode. Mm-hmm. And so it's a challenge in terms of spreading the word about things and getting people to stand up and to fight against things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are done undercover, honestly. It's hard to find resources and information when everything is done outside, especially of the black community. And it's really hard for people to just say, yes, I know about this, and then after they find out, what can they possibly do? You know the information sometimes, but you don't know exactly how to execute a plan.
Yeah. Well, so I'm really curious, how does this work? I mean, I think we all understand a cooperative is, well, people agree to put up some of their labor and they put up whatever capital they can. And then they agree on projects, and so I've heard about the attempting to consolidate land ownership.
Mm-hmm.
What other projects? What kind of things go on in Jackson?
Yeah, so the group that we're a part of is Cooperation Jackson, and our sort of main goal is building out a broad-based solidarity economy using co-ops as a means for us to, I feel like, one, learn how to be democratic with our labor, and two, have ownership of our labor. We wanted to start with co-ops that we felt could help us sustain life, And so we have a farming cooperative named Freedom Farms, which is a tribute to actually Fannie Lou Hamer, who started a pig farming cooperative in Mississippi following the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So paying homage to that, carrying the torch.
Is that where I mentioned before the show, Fannie Lou Hamer was involved?
So she...
Or at least initiated that idea?
Yeah, so the story is, I heard that she was a farmer. I don't know if she was a sharecropper, but when she had went to go vote, she lost her job and she lost her place of staying, or where she was staying. And what happened was, there was black farming cooperatives that sort of took her in. And I feel like this is like something that we are not taught in about the civil rights movement, how there was a whole economic basis of black labor and black people who had control over their means, mm-hmm. That allowed them to make certain political decisions. Mm-hmm. And so we're sort of taking that on as well. Like I feel like in the ways that we farm, we want to farm using sustainable agriculture practices and farm in a way where we're in right relationship with the land and with each other.
Yeah. You know, it's even in cities, I know here in Toronto, more and more people are starting to think, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way to feed ourselves. Mm-hmm. And also feed ourselves stuff that won't kill us.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And if that's underway in Jai, that could be a big help. I mean, I assume even in Detroit, they're thinking about getting areas, public area, where people can farm, mm-hmm. raise some, and create food for their own community.
In Detroit, to be honest, they're way ahead of us. And when we went down there, it was really amazing to see how they have incorporated natural resources in a way that can help sustain large acres of farming. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot being there, mm-hmm. because it is a lot of areas where they have urban farming and it's ran by a collective or the community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should tell our listeners, there's a book that's also available now, I think, at a different book list. You must be able to get this. It's called Jackson Rising: The Struggle for Economic Democracy and Black Self-Determination in Jackson, Mississippi, Cali, Akuno, and Ajamu Nengwaya Cooperation Jackson. There's a website, too, to be aware of, cooperationjackson.org. You could become a friend of cooperationjackson.org. Go to the site to find it, but I think if you had that friend of Cooperation Jackson at gmail.com, I think you can write to them directly.
You definitely can.
Yep. And could and help out and also learn. Part of what you're doing is getting people to make them aware of it and encourage them to start their own projects here.
Correct. We really want this to take off internationally and let people understand that you don't have to depend on your government. The government is more of a capitalist system. They're only concerned about the 1% staying rich and being richer. So if we can get this idea of farming, of organic, mm-hmm. and regenerative sources of how we want to live our life, then that's really important.
Absolutely. Recent weeks I've had people on the show here who they're at a General Motors plant in Oshawa, mm-hmm. Which is being, the company just decided to close it down, and our local political leader, the premier, said, well, the ship just left. There's, mm-hmm. nothing we can do about that, mm-hmm. except that all those workers built that. First of all, they built the plant. Then they did all that work. Mm-hmm. They paid off that plant 100 times over.
Right.
And so now there are some of them saying, well, we'll take the plant and we'll make electric cars. So you're making these gas guzzlers, right. And we make electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting about the traction of a good idea? Mm-hmm. I mean, because mm-hmm. the premier, of course, he can't even... No, he's from Disneyland. He can't hear nothing. But a lot of people prick their ears up, say, why not?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't believe people are smart enough, mm-hmm. able? That's all that matters, isn't it? It's just capability.
Yeah, there's a couple examples. I feel like in Argentina, after the, the stock market crashed, a lot of the factories shut down, and a lot of the workers decided to take over their factories. And so now their work is self-controlled. Self-operated.
How do you tell them no, by the way?
Yeah, no, it's
these
like...
These are the people, right?
Yeah, and if they already know how to use the machines, there's nothing stopping them from using the machines.
Yeah. You know? And another fact that I saw that came up in the discussion on the Chris Hedges program, he pointed out that we're talking about Jackson. This is the capital of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1850, Mississippi was the richest state in the Union, but not the people,
right?
But they had plenty of money, plenty of whatever they wanted, actually, based on slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you discuss this idea of how about getting that money back? I mean, it was produced by the for more than 200 years of labor.
Yeah, I mean, I think
unpaid. Pardon me.
Yeah, you know, reparations is a real thing. I heard a statistic, someone saying that 60 cents on every dollar was generated from enslaved African labor. So if you look at the $1 trillion budget, I guess that the couple $1 trillion budget that the U.S. government has, you know, like how much of that should be allocated to black communities. But for me, I look at it like, I don't know if there's a particular cost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a particular money amount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I see that this the systems that are harming us, the systems that are keeping us, you know, not in control of our own lives, that's killing us, putting us in cages, that system needs to not exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, that's a step towards reparations. My understanding of reparations is when you're in combat, and the country that loses,
mm-hmm.
that's the country that pays the reparations.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of difficult to ask for reparations for the country that's winning all over the world right now.
Yes. Yeah, it's a more complex. But one thing's for sure is that this people was on the land, produced the wealth,
mm-hmm.
and now those who accumulated it have just said, basically waving goodbye,
mm-hmm.
or thinking they can get away with that.
Right.
And that's kind of an ancient problem. Adriana, Adriana. I'm sorry. I'm during the show, I'm going to learn to say your name.
Yes,
and my apology. We just met. I noticed that there one example being given by this organization, CooperationJackson.org, is the Basque country of Spain.
Correct. Mondragon, yes.
Where they have been really successful. Are you conversant with that, or can you talk about the inspiration take from that?
A little bit. I'm really starting my knowledge of all of this. I've only been doing this for 3 months. Uh-huh. I've only been a farmer for 3 months.
Are you a farmer?
Yes, and an activist for 3 months.
We all love farmers.
But from my understanding so far, a priest decided that when he got to this region, it was not enough community people based.
Mm-hmm.
Organizations and industries.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to educate the people and the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And five people that he taught decided to make their own company. And from there, it sprouted into several different companies and co-ops that are ran by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire town is ran by the people, and they teach and train and educate, and everything is interconnected and has interaction amongst each other. So when one company might be slow, they teach the people to do another part of another company. So say they're making cars and the car company is slow, they'll just train them to be farmers, and they are farmers for however long and have to harvest, and that's amongst the entire community. And that's mm-hmm. the basis of it. It's just being taught as far as how things are ran and how things are built, and then spreading that throughout the entire nation of mm-hmm. Mondragon. So
yeah, it is. You must see some parallels too, in that the Basque people are an oppressed people.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we call them the Basque country of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not surprisingly, they're attracted to the idea of cooperation. The numbers of people involved with their co-ops is hundreds of thousands.
Right. Yes.
It's like a whole city.
Entire industry.
Yeah, it's an entire city.
I mean, and I notice the project of CooperationJackson.org that they talk about is it's Jackson Kush.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a national concept, right? In the 1930s, listeners may know, there was mm-hmm. something called the Black Belt.
Right.
Where it was recognized the black majority and black majority rule should have led to at least something like the Basque Country, mm-hmm. you might say.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I mean, to me, that would be a good development.
Yeah, we think so, too. I mean, I think...
By the way, the whites chose to leave, that's up to them.
Yeah.
That's okay. The people who stayed behind say, all right, you're left. So you don't have any more business here, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me, I look at it like, you know, black people being oppressed and like black people's human rights and how do you right the wrongs that have happened, and how do you actualize humanity, you know? And I feel like if black people's humanity was actualized, you know, our human rights were met, then that would uplift the humanity of everyone, you know? And I feel like, you know, because we're on the bottom, you know, and I feel like if people understood that, especially white people, then we would be in a much better place, you know? And I think just in reference to the Jackson Kush plan, it's a plan that is geared towards putting black people in a space where we can start to build for transformative change in the country.
Well, isn't it? It's also national self-determination in a sense.
Yes.
And incidentally, I'm old enough to remember the civil rights movement rather intimately. Mm-hmm. That was the a driving power was self-determination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
The you know, A to Z, not the kind where there are little attachments and asterisks and writing in italics.
Uh-huh.
We'll check with Trump, or we'll check with the governor of Mississippi.
Exactly.
On our terms. And when the time is right, which mm-hmm. will probably be a century or two. No, it was actually self-determination,
mm-hmm.
which is, I always thought was curious that there was a pushback because those people who had imposed a white power structure, they're very comfortable with that. I mean, mm-hmm. And you'd say, well, but you didn't want black people part of the economy except to exploit.
Right.
So why don't you just, you know, go off and mind your own business?
Mm-hmm.
It struck me. This guy, I think it was Leo Tolstoy, who said that, you know, the rich will do anything for us except get off our backs.
That sounds about right. You know, so like the plan for self-determination, like building for land, sovereignty, trying to figure out a way that we can govern collectively, you know, and we see doing that through people's assemblies, you know, and have an independent political party where it's not just the Republicans or Democrats that are tied to capital and tied to the elite.
Yes.
You know, self-determination means like us doing things on our terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me just ask, again, you have a wonderful mayor and you have a great political tradition, obviously, in Jackson now, and the world has heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
How is the politicals, the Democrats, pardon me, do they exist anymore? The Republicans, what kind of attitude are they taking? Are they speaking out about this? Are they disturbed by the presence
of course
of Jackson Rising and all this?
Yeah.
What's it like? I mean,
yeah, I think one
they,
thing.
When they run for office, they run against you, as you're the, are you the,
or they
the
run,
target?
Or they run people who are who claim to be Democrats. But the interests are pretty much aligned with the Republicans.
Uh-huh.
And when they get into office, then they sort of extract as much resources as possible from the state and from the city, mm-hmm. as to where a progressive, you know, candidate, when they get into office, they're faced with like not having any resources to implement any sort of progressive programs.
Yeah.
And so like that's the situation is what has happened now. Yeah. in Jackson.
Well, I assume, and on your side of the, mm-hmm. the equation, people are equally motivated, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a political battle. The
right.
fate of Jackson, the fate of Mississippi is very much in the balance.
Right.
As I heard the discussion with Chris Hedges, I mean, you're really at some type of historical crossroads there, where those who abandoned Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I could say Jackson Kush, is that mm-hmm. Now want to make sure they control it because there is some money to be made.
Right.
But Jackson Rising, Jackson, the Cooperation Jackson is an obstacle for them.
Yeah, so how we continue to be.
You have a fortification street or some sort of line drawn in the sand there?
Correct. Yeah, there's a, you know, they formed the Capital Corridor District where it's controlled by the state now. Jackson is a majority black city that's surrounded by white counties, white wealthy counties.
Kind of sounds like Washington, D.C.
It used to be
the capital of the country.
Yeah, it used to be Chocolate City, but it's not that
strange,
anymore,
yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, and so they want to take as much resources as possible. They're trying to take the water. You know, Jackson provides water for the entire region. I think it's $600 million a year that the city of Jackson makes for providing water for the region. Mm. They want to take the water. They want to take the airport, which the airport provides resources to the city. Any sort of economic engine.
Anything that produces capital.
Yeah. They're literally starving Jackson. Mm-hmm. Literally. They've taken pretty much all the resources and just left the people there. From my understanding, a lot of the locals have to drive out of Jackson to even find work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on the one hand, it's a quite of a bleak situation. On the other, it's extremely hopeful because what you're representing are very advanced ideas, and they seem to be popular. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to Brandon King and Adriani.
Abriani. Got it. Okay.
I told you I'd learn by the end of the show. Abriani. And close to that time, and I finally learned Abriani. And you spoke at a different book list. You've been in Detroit. And what kind of, for example, at the different book lists, what kind of questions, what was on people's mind when they heard your presentation?
Was the youth involved? Mm-hmm. And yes, both in Detroit and in Mississippi, I'm glad to see a lot of people with revolutionary ideas involving their children because the next generation is really important. Currently on the farm at Freedom Farms, we have two teenagers actually helping out, working out on the farm and learning from Sister Imani, which is our main source of knowledge as far as farming. And she's a perfect example because she had to do it out of necessity, dealing with poverty and having to learn how to grow food specifically for her family and her community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a commentary, isn't it? I mean, that we're all starting to think how we might find food in a culture that doesn't, in an economy that says that they can define us as worthless. And we would just have to scratch up a life somehow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But fortunately, there's cooperationjackson.org. There's a wonderful book, Jackson Rising, The Struggle for Economic Democracy and Black Self-Determination. Very important components in Jackson, Mississippi. I urge you to get the book. I urge you to go to a different book list, 777 Bathurst Street. I hope they recorded the meeting last night.
There's some video. And
we're in this new age. There's no excuse for these things not being passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you said last night, people in Detroit, people in San Diego, people in Florida, whatnot, they need to hear about this. And if it's on the net, they can get it. Abriani,
yes,
thank you very much for coming.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And Brandon King, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Hey, look, please come back. Please be in touch. Consider the Taylor Report, CIUT, part of the Friends of the Cooperation Jackson.
Thank you so much.
I love the sound of it, by the way, Cooperation Jackson. Except for the man himself, I like the name Jackson. So, we'll play a little music, and we'll be back with Zafar Ben-Gage.